you guys. This is my first official like tardy that I've had with waited out with being a little bit late. Bella, she's getting so big. She's going to be 1 year old tomorrow. And Aaron was taking her to the hair salon to get her hair done for the party, also meaning my mom's house, or my parents' house. My mom's doing her hair. And her shoes won't fit. Like, they were too tight on her feet. And that's why I'm late, because we were realizing that her feet are growing again. She's moving to a size 5. And we're just like, what? Anyways, you guys might be like, I don't want to talk about this. And that's understandable, because that's not what we're here to talk about. We are, this is Waited Out every Saturday night. It's not really nighttime for me living on the West Coast, but every Saturday night we talk about dating and relationships. We talk about singlehood, engagement, just different things about dating and relationships that are that relate to us. And so these last few weeks, we didn't do it this well. I should go ahead and give my disclaimer to anybody under 18. This might not be appropriate content for you, but we didn't do this live chat last week. I'm just very transparent. You guys know that. I'm sitting with a blanket. I have on shorts, but they're like not, you know, the shorts I wear in public. I talk about those all the time. So I want to have a blanket. Anyways, so what was I saying? Yeah, so if you're under 18, this content might not be appropriate for you guys. So we're going to be, the last few weeks, most of you guys know that I have ADHD. If you're a first timer, I'm sorry about that. I'm not sorry, but welcome to now knowing that I have ADHD and the fact that I oftentimes lose track of my sentences. What was I saying? Last week, we did not have the live stream because my nephew turned 1. He's 8 days older than my daughter. And then I wasn't sure if I was going to do it this weekend. There is a lot happening in the world. It seems like a lot of people may have just found out racism is a thing. And the traumatic events of seeing the video of George Floyd and, you know, hearing the story of Breonna Taylor, like, I didn't want to go live this week. I don't want to talk anymore. I haven't really been in the mood for conversation. I've been on my Instagram story a little bit the last few days, but I don't know if you guys can tell, like, my energy level is just like, you know, it's just like not even the same level because I've just been so grieved as a human. Yes, as a Black person, but I think anybody can feel this pain because it's painful. And so when I was talking about, and all of you guys are saying you're almost 18, yes, you can stay. So when I was thinking about, am I going to, if you're 14, you know what? If you think you can talk about this, then okay. But when I was thinking about, was I going to do a live stream tonight? You know what I mean? Like, am I going to talk about dating and relationships? Like, during this time, I don't feel like it. But then I realized, you know what? There are so many couples that are having conversations for the first time. There are interracial couples, there are mixed race couples, there are families that have mixed race children or families that have children that are a different race or nationality or ethnicity than they are. And I was thinking, this is actually a really important time to talk about this. There are also single people that might be in an interracial relationship in the future, or their friends are in an interracial relationship. That's really hard to say. And so I thought, this is actually a really important time to have these conversations. So I feel really fortunate in the fact that I have a really diverse friend group. And so I didn't have to think very long when it came to who I wanted to be a part of this conversation tonight. So you guys are going to meet 2 of my best friends tonight. I literally call them both my sisters. You're going to meet Kara Larica, who I always have to give this credit. She's my sister Morgan's friend, and I stole her. No, it's not really true. She is Morgan's friend, but Carol is just a great friend to both of us. All 3 of us are just, we're just buddies. So Carol, you're going to be here. Also, another disclaimer really quick. We're not going to be like, we're going to be open and transparent in this conversation. Sometimes if I say something about like white people in my concert, then I have to be like, okay guys, I'm about to say a word that starts with W, so I'm not going to do that here. So Carol's Black, Stan is white, they're married, and they have 3 sweet, precious babies. Kids, not all babies. And then Court, who you're also going to meet, Courtney, She is one of my best friends. She's literally like my sister. She white from, I always get Indiana and Illinois mixed up. Nobody be offended. But she's from the Midwest. Courtney knows I get them mixed up all the time. I never know where she's from. And we've been friends for 11 years. So she's super white. Her words, not mine. And and her husband, JP, is from Kenya. So they also have three kids. So their stories are going to be like, I'm excited. Also, shout out to Adrian, my RA from college. She also is like Carol's best friend. So I think it's really cool because a lot of our friends are in here too. And I'm just really excited. So here we go, guys. We are going to talk about this. I want to give a few notes on my own, and then I'm going to bring Carol in about 2 or 3 minutes. One of the main things that I do want to address, because I know there are single people here. Oh, Abby's here too. What's up? Abby is also one of Carol's best friends. You guys, it is basically our college reunion in here. So, yeah, get ready for that. Abby was also my RA. I just feel like you guys should be so proud of me and how I turned out. I'm just so normal. A lot of single people, so I get DMs like this all the time. Like, oh, I desire to be in an interracial, relationship. Like, I'm interested in someone that's a different race. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's my first and foremost thing. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I want to make sure that we distinguish between, like, having interest in someone of another race and, like, having, like, a fetish about someone of another race. So if you're someone that's like, oh, I want to date someone or marry someone of a different race so that our kids are going to have a certain skin color, or our kids are going to have a certain eye color or hair texture or hair length, or because, you know, black guys, this, this, and that, or because white women, this, this, and that. If that's the way you feel, this is not going to be the live chat for you, because it sounds like you have some heart issues that you need to work on that we do not have the time to address this evening. So I'm going to need you, I'm not being sarcastic when I say to find your local counselor and work on whatever insecurities you have about your own race and culture that causes you to, you know, like have a fetish about someone of a different race. So there's that. And so now we're gonna talk other things. I told you guys, I don't have time to sugarcoat things tonight. Someone said they've never heard of a fetish of dating another race. That's awesome that you've never heard of that. The amount of times that I would be like, I would have to deal with like when I was single, it's like white guys being like, yeah, I always wonder like what a black girl was like. Guess you ain't gonna find out. Okay, so we're gonna bring in Carol Erica. It says we're waiting for her now. I'm super. Carol!
Hi!
How are you?
I am good. We are in Savannah. So.
Oh, you know. Nice. Good. I was about to say, is that like your artsy room or something? But then I realized it's not your house.
So. No, not at all. It does look cool though, but no.
It does.
I'm hiding from all of the children.
So. I know. How old are they? How old are all three of them?
3, 2, and 10 months tomorrow.
That is just like you have. I feel like I'm not allowed to be like, I'm tired.
No, here's the thing. One is tiring. Two is exhausting. Three, you're kind of like, you know what? Whatever.
It's like, you know. Are you breathing? Do you have a Capri Sun? Great.
Exactly. He chewed on a Capri Sun thing today. It was really awesome. It was helping his teething. That's what I told myself.
Bella, yeah. Bella chews on the weirdest stuff for teething.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see her over in her crib, just like gnawing on the crib. And I'm just like, that can't be good.
Yeah. Crayons. Crayons are a favorite in our house right now.
Oh, I'm glad to know I'm not alone in that. I feel
no,
so.
No, girl.
Like the other day, I told her to say, and they were just like green speckles of crayon. Yeah. I was like, cool.
Does she do this thing where she holds it in her mouth just so she'll catch her?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, people ask me all the time, like, why don't you vlog as much? I'm like, I'm not about to vlog you, like, show you guys, like, my kids sticking her hand in the toilet. Like, yeah. Like all this weird stuff my daughter does. So,
yeah. It's a fun life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I would honestly, like, I feel like I honestly, we do talk, but we haven't had like an excessively long catch up in a while. So I would like to have one of those in the future to ask you 18,000 more questions about the kids. But I know we are going to talk about the thing. I don't know what that was. I know we're going to talk about like dating and race and things like that. Just to give people a little bit more context of how we met. You're one of my sister's like best friends.
Yes.
Then I came to college and I was like, she's fun.
I think I was your RA too.
I think so. Sometimes I feel like I had like, don't take this the wrong way. I feel like I had more RAs than friends. Like, which is fine.
It's okay. It's okay.
I like that all of my like RAs are all like, all my friends from college are like, not much older, but like older than me with like more kids because my friends were my RAs. Because
we kept you safe.
Forced to hang out with me. Adrian just said that you were my RA. How does she know and we don't?
Adrian remembers everything. It's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Okay, so you're my RA, and then you started dating Stan. Were you guys in college when you were dating?
So we were on and off in college. I never put a title on it because of my own issues, but we knew that we liked each other. But we were friends for a long, long time. An RA is a resident assistant.
Yeah, it's like in college. They're kind of like your unofficial babysitter in college to tell you if you're not supposed to have a microwave or not.
Exactly. Hot plates, you can't have those. Dogs, you can't have those. You know.
Keep the door open if there's a boy visiting. All those.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, I don't Christian know. Oh, gosh. All the stress just came back. But no, so we were friends for a long time. And you know how you know those people who are just always together. So you know there's something there, but everybody's denying it who's actually in the situation. That's basically what we were. And so when I graduated, because remember, I went back and worked for the school, and he himself was an RA. And so I was his boss. And, you know, that relationship was kind of forbidden. Yeah. So I kept my word, though. It's like, no, I'm your boss. So we kept it 100% kosher. And then we still hung out because we were just in proximity of each other, you know? And once I stopped working at the school and I was supposed to move to Mexico, do you remember that?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You didn't go.
I did not go because that summer we really I was like, you know what? I'm leaving in September. So we can give this thing a real shot. And then, you know, on September 1st, I'm on a plane. So it's fine. It was real romantic, you know, but, and he was like, just always there. He just always was unwavering. Just, you know, he was my friend. We're like best friends. And September came and I was like, I don't think I want to go. I think I want to be here. And I think I found somebody who actually like loves me for me and that I trust and that I love for him, you know? And so that was September of 2011. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. 2011.
Yeah.
And then we dated from 2011 and then 2012. That's when we got engaged. And so for everybody who didn't know the understory, it seemed like we dated for like 9 months and then got engaged. But really, we had been learning about each other, knowing each other, really being there for each other for years.
Right.
And so that's how all that went down.
Well, I mean, it's all good. I only, you know, dated Aaron for like a week. So,
you know, when you know, you know.
what year did you guys get married again?
2013. So we got engaged 2012 November and got married August 2013.
Okay.
So this is 7 years for us. Yeah.
And so you're originally from Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm from Atlanta. He's from Savannah.
Okay. So you guys are both from Georgia. The, you know, obvious difference. Well, like you're a girl, he's a guy, but also like you're black, he's white. Was there like any, because a lot of times when we talk about race, we oftentimes like go to the serious stuff, which I think stresses people out about race. Like, well, let me be honest. I think it stresses out non people of color because we're used to being different.
We're used
so
to
it's not weird to us to talk about race. But is there anything kind of fun when it comes to like your cultures colliding or even in marriage that like you were like, bruh, black people don't do that, or was there anything like that?
I mean, we have plenty of those, right? And he's like, you don't do that? And I'm like, no, Stanley, please stop. Like, you know, we got them from like the funny to the very serious. But one story that comes to mind is when we got married, you know, like, being a black girl, when you go to bed, you wear something on your hair to protect your hair. Uh-huh. And so I would do this. He never questioned it. He never was like, what is that on your head? You know? And there was one night where I didn't have it on my head. And he like was like, wait, something, you know, he kind of was like, what's going on? And he goes, where's your hat? And I was like, my hat? And he's like, yeah, you know, your hat. And I was like, you mean what I wear to go to bed? And he's like, yeah. I was like, it's called a bonnet. From this point on, it is a bonnet. Thank you. You know, thank you for being gracious, but it's called a bonnet. So he's like, where's your hat?
That is, I love that he called it a hat. That is such a my gosh. That is amazing. Also, I need to send you this picture because the cutest thing in the world is the fact that Bella has a bonnet. Uh-huh. She won't actually keep it on for more than 30 seconds.
I was like, how are you doing that?
It's just, no, it's for my own personal entertainment. Okay. So I actually, since we did talk about this a little bit before, I actually loved your answer to this next question because I think it's actually going to be really encouraging to other people. But how early on in the dating process did you guys talk about race?
So I wish that I could be a model citizen here, but we didn't, because we were friends. And so you don't really, like, when you're just friends with somebody, you don't have serious race conversations, you know? But I do remember when we decided, like, hey, we're going to date, he actually had a conversation with somebody at his church, because apparently he had been talking about me all summer long, and they could tell that he was very serious about me. And one of the ladies that he was really close with, he was like, she was like, you know that you're going to have to learn how to do hair. He was like, what are you talking about? He was like, she's like, if you're serious about her, your children, they're going to have different kind of hair than you. And then he was like, that's the first time I ever thought about it. Like, the fact that we are actually different. And then when our lives merge together, it won't look like anything that I know. Right. You know? And so that was pretty cool. But for me, like you said, we're just used to being different. It didn't come up other than when we got engaged. And like, we, like, I think maybe in marriage counseling, just talking about our different worlds. But it wasn't like, you're black, I'm white. The only thing that was literally said about it was, my family loves you, and that's that. Like, literally, like, it was almost like a, we love you, we don't have to talk about it. Close that door. Anybody says anything about it, they'll have to fight us, you know? So,
that's such a gift that you guys had of the support of your families, because, you know, I mean, some people have to talk about, like, you know, there's no rules for this kind of stuff. You know, a lot of people ask me, oh, what number of date am I supposed to talk about, you know, this? What number of date am I supposed to talk about, you know, what kind of toothpaste we buy and what you're voting for? Like,
we're still fighting over the toothpaste.
Exactly. Like, there's no rules to this stuff. And you guys just had the gift of everybody embracing you. Also, and even though, I mean, just like any other community, even though we had some challenges in our college community, our school was really diverse.
That's
a privilege that we also had, because we didn't have to go far at all to meet someone that was the same race but of a completely different culture, or of a totally different race but of the same culture. Like, we had, like, literally everybody at our school. And that's one thing that I'm really proud of at our school, is that, you know, and even when there were things that were not so great, our leadership was so, like, shut it down.
Oh, my. They are still to this day very shut it down.
Like, this is not a sponsor at all, but, y'all, we graduated from Point University. It's in West Point. It's in the Southeast. Yes. I don't know if it's in Alabama or Georgia. It's on the line.
It's in both. So the school itself is in West Point, and the housing is in Alabama.
If you go to school there, and if you have issues, you go find Mr. Huxford, and everything's going to be okay.
Yes, he will protect you and help you in every kind of way. It's amazing.
That's an incredible school. That's one thing that I'm really grateful for. I think I actually had more racial issues unresolved in my professional life and in my teen years than I did in my 4 years in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is makes me miss school, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to class, but I just, you know.
we just want to hang out and go to dorm.
Yeah. So when was then, since you guys had this, like, really awesome opportunity to just really feel connected because of your, you know, collegiate support and familial support, when was the first time that you guys did talk about race in a heavier way or a more serious way?
So the first time that we've talked about race, like, heavier is in 2016. And that's when Evan was born. And, you know, as cute as he was or still is, we recognized that, like, the world was changing and shifting. And there was some serious things that we would need to talk about in regards to how we were going to raise our children. Because Stanley is a white man in America. There are things he just does not know. There are things that he just doesn't understand. And, like, up until that point, we have been living our life like this, like, next to each other. I don't know if you can see my hands. But, yeah. But, like, so I would see the world one way, and he would see the world the other way. And they could coexist, you know? Like, so if we would go somewhere, and I wouldn't feel safe, but he would feel safe, then we would, you know, work together on helping me feel safe and helping him see why I didn't feel safe. But it was never like a really intense, like, we only had like one of those. And it, like, it would just really freak me out. But since we've been married, like, we've been able to meet each other like halfway and just really walk into those situations together. But when we had Evan, it was like, you know, this went from us learning how to navigate the world to us learning how to navigate the world and teach somebody else how to navigate the world, who, frankly, he doesn't, I mean, he's, when people see him, people are going to say he's Black.
Yeah.
But so he'll identify more with my experience. Hopefully not that things are changing, but, you know, just the landscape of the land. But Stanley's going to have to teach him that because that's his dad. And so that is when, that's when it really started to get a little heavier around our house.
It's like,
it's his real life. We have been entrusted with a child to bring up in this world. And that's when the race talks really started. And, you know, he has been very outspoken about stuff, but I've been the, hey, it's okay. You know, this is reality. Like, this is not new to me. And, you know, so I think that's when just life got a little bit heavier, but we've always walked together. You know, like, it's not like, oh, this is your issue. No, he carries that weight now. This is my child, and my job is to protect him. You know?
Yeah. So. That's incredible, first of all. And it sounds like, for me, like, for just hearing that it's kind of like, I mean, I'm sure there are so many different facets to it, but it sounds like there was almost like a two-step process in that, of like, one, it's like the humility of needing to, like, step in the well with you to be like, okay, let me be empathetic and feel this with you. And then after that, then it's taking the action upon himself to say, okay, I'm gonna do this for my family. Because I think if Stan had been like, okay, Black wife, I will fix it all, you know, then it kind of would have been like you said, like, no, this isn't new to me. Like, I don't need you to come up with how to fix racism. Like, I need you to feel why I don't feel safe right now.
Right.
And then I need you to, because you now feel it, learn how to invest, like, the wisdom based off of that feeling into our family.
And be willing. He's always been willing to just meet me there, you know, without judgment, even because, you know, him, he's very funny. He's very, like, he does it. It's hard for him to take life seriously sometimes, but, like, you know, he's been willing to say, okay, I hear you. I know I made a couple of jokes, but I hear you now. What do you need from me? Like, what is it going to take for us to be able to be here together and you feel safe? So that's been really big.
That sounds crucial, even in relationships in general, but, like, romantic relationships in general. It's like, yeah, no, that's good. When does your book on dating come out?
Listen, this is a conversation offline, because the Lord is moving and I am just like, whoa. So we can talk about it later.
Great. Okay. Sounds good. We'll talk at approximately 6:03 my time. Okay. I had a couple other questions. Was there any opposition to your dating relationship or your marriage? You don't have to share detail, but I think, you know, was there?
Yeah, for sure. So I told a story this past week about, well, I just put a snippet in the story this past week about the one time that I was told not to marry a white person. Like, because I think that person saw, like, my friends are white, and just, like, everything around me was pretty much white, and they were just like, don't marry a white guy. And I was like, oh, chill out, I'm not even dating, like, no big deal.
Oh, this, you know, weren't whatever. Even dating Stan at the time.
No, this was in high school. So what, and I went to a black high school, like, so I don't know what about me, like, just screamed she's gonna have a white husband, but, like, people have been telling me that my whole life, like,
it's, same.
Yeah,
they were very confused when I announced my engagement. Very confused.
Like, wait a second, this isn't what we called.
And he, but he a big black one.
I love it. Yes. So, sorry, I forgot the question.
Sorry, I know I chose to interrupt you. You were talking about how somebody was like, don't marry a white person.
Yes, yes. And so, and this person was like the closest thing that I've ever had to a father figure. You know, I didn't grow up with a dad. And so this person had taken that place in my life. So I took those words seriously. And I really tried to, like, you know, don't marry a white person, don't marry a white person. But when we got to college, we were all, I won't say we were the same because we were not the same, but we were just all together. You know, yeah. And so it just didn't feel for me, because I know everybody had a different experience there, but for me, it didn't feel like, oh, I'm dating a white person. It felt like I'm dating my friend. And so, like, other than that, nobody, to my knowledge, has ever said anything.
Yeah.
Fun fact, my mom and Stan's dad actually went to college together. They knew
really?
Each other. So, yeah. So it was like a big old family affair.
That's hilarious. Yeah. No, I mean, I think what you said is so crucial. You know, it's a lot of times, and I mentioned this in the beginning, a lot of times people will kind of like, oh, I really want to date a white guy, or I really want to date a black guy. Really, like, and if you tend to be more like attracted to a certain, you know, kind of person, like, that's okay. I don't think that's wrong. But I think, like you said, you know, you weren't going into it thinking, oh, I want to date a white guy. It was like,
right.
I want to date this great guy. Oh, he's mm-hmm. white, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah. that kind of, yeah. Do you have, I know I didn't send you this question, so if you don't have anything on it, it's fine. But do you have any thought when it, like, or any words, just whatever you think of, when people do have this need or heavy desire to date out of their race? I mean, like, when it's like, when it kind of borderline fetishizes, because as a black woman, you know, I dealt with that in my singlehood of, like, just guys just wanting to see, like, a sassy black lady, you know, like, ugh.
Yeah. You know what? So I'll answer this two part. Being on the other side of that, so having guys, like, pursue me because I was black, because I did something for, you know, I look at me, I'm hanging out with this black girl, you know?
Right.
That is painful to experience on the other side. When it does not end in marriage or dating, because you realize you've been used. And so I really want to caution people, like, don't use people. They are not there for your, I don't want to say your enjoyment, but they're people.
Experiment, you know?
Exactly. They're not your experiment. They're people. And so being on that side of it is really hurtful, because you start to question, you know, does he only want me because I'm black? You know,
right.
So now is my blackness the reason that he wants me? Like, you know, they don't want to talk to me because I'm smart or I have talents or I'm very nice. It's like, no, I'm obsessed with you. And it's like, ooh, you know?
Yeah.
So it's painful to be on the other side. And I would say, like, if you're on the other side of that, if you're the person who's just really, like, obsessed with a certain culture, I would challenge that. Not because I think it's wrong to be obsessed with another culture, but I've seen in a few people's lives that where they were adamant about dating another race because they were hurt by the race that they are in, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, I was very careful because I did not grow up with a dad. I almost forced myself to really, really try to fall in love with a black guy just to fight that stereotype, because I didn't want people to think I had daddy issues. But then I realized just the me trying to protect my optics was also not healthy. And I had a man standing before me ready to lay down his life and just loves me and literally would not go away. Like, dude, how many times do I have to be like, we're not dating, get out of here? You know? And so So I really just challenged that. Like, why are you obsessed with that? Because I don't want to judge the situation, but I really, really, really want to challenge people. It's like, why do I like white people more? You know, why do I like black girls more? Why do I like Asians more? Whatever it is, because you might find something there that's not healed within yourself. And then once you get past that and you realize, like, okay, I like this person because they're a person and they hear me and they feel me and they understand me. And I truly want to do this life with them, not because they are white. Like, I don't, especially in this culture, I don't want to say our race is secondary, but and when it comes to relationships, especially something so like intimate as marriage, it's almost secondary because first and foremost, we are before God as humans.
Yeah.
And then we bring our differences into the marriage because I am black and he is white and we respect that and we embrace that. Right. So I would just really challenge it. So,
right. No, I think that's so good. I mean, I think, yeah, all that you said is so good. I remember like ever since I was little, I've known that I was going to be an adoptive parent. And I don't know when, I don't know, you know, how, I don't know what that looks like, but I've always known, like, since I was little. And God put Asia on my heart when I was, I think, 7 years old. And you know that.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, when I was 7 years old, like, I was like, oh, God put Asia on my heart. I don't know what that means, but I just know that it's there. So my whole life, I've talked about, like, you know, wanting this beautiful, diverse family and just having this call toward Asia and this love for the Asian culture. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in there, I think I maybe liked an Asian guy. So then it turned into, oh, Jamie wants an Asian man. Jamie's obsessed with Asian men. And then if I say, no, I don't want an Asian guy, then people are like, oh, so you don't like Asian guys? Right. And I was like, no, I don't care. I actually don't care. And they're like, oh, so you don't care about Asian
guys?
Exactly.
You don't win. You can't win that fight.
I know. I'm like, no, like, it's fine. Like, my brother-in-law is Asian. No, I can't say that. Okay. It just got so messy. Mm-hmm. And but I'm kind of, to be honest, I'm glad that I went through that misunderstanding with people because I'm glad that I saw what it feels like to be on the other side. Mm-hmm. Because I was usually the minority in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, like, don't be obsessed with me because I'm black and I can sing. You know, so it was convicting to be on the other side. And I needed to watch the way that I even spoke about my dreams and my desires. And so that was a learning experience for me for sure. Okay, so this is my last one here. And my last question is, do you have any advice, and it can be like something really quick, but do you have any advice for, well, it's kind of a two-part question. Do you have any advice for mixed race couples, like people that are already in an interracial relationship? And like, well, I guess it is not really a two-part question, but just kind of like as they are navigating conversations like this, like when they're watching the news, when they're watching a protest or when they're watching a viral video, do they need to agree? And what happens if they don't agree? I know that's a loaded question, but
so the first part of the question, I'm so smart. The first part of the question, advice for interracial couples. And I hope that this advice stands the test of time, but especially right now, this is a unique time to be dating, married interracially, because we have something at the forefront of our minds. Like, we can't ignore it. And if you choose to ignore it, then you are missing a huge opportunity just for growth in yourself and growing together. And so I would say approach that conversation with a lot of patience and grace, because you are not coming from the same place and you can agree on so many things and still you don't have the same starting point. Mm-hmm. Nobody has the same starting point. And it kind of hurts sometimes when you think like, oh yeah, we are pretty much chugging along, and then something comes up and it's like, whoa, how do you not see the world my way? And then that's how I really come back to, we didn't start from the same point. So I can't have that expectation that every single thing we're going to see the world the same way. So
yeah,
if you're dating right now interracially or married right now interracially, don't shy away from it. But be very patient. Be so patient. Be very full of grace. Ask questions. Ask real questions. Don't get defensive. Don't defend yourself. Like, you have to almost make a commitment saying, I will not defend myself in this conversation. Mm. Because when you're sitting in defense, you're not listening. And I mean, with this, with this race thing, it is intense, and it is so packed with just a lot of history. And so even for me as a Black person, it's like, I don't understand all. I don't know all. All I know is my experience. And so I am inviting him into my world. And thankfully I'm married to someone who wants to be in that world. And that's another thing. You're really telling a lot about people's hearts right now.
Yeah.
And so if you're in an interracial relationship and you're like, I had some red flags before, but now it's like, whew, you know, just really start to look and stop. Don't try to cover things up and lie to yourself, because this race thing, it doesn't go away. You don't turn to the other race because you marry another person. Like, you're going to have this. And so it's something that you really have to deal with. Really have to be patient about with yourself too. Like, there's some things that I'm like learning now. Like, I messaged you the other day and I was so mad at myself. I was like, how did I not know this?
same.
Yeah. And so just being patient with yourself and being patient with your partner, that's very important. And just having a lot of grace and just choosing, you know, I don't have to be, if you're truly with somebody that loves you, that you know that they want to understand you, get out of that defensiveness position so they can really receive each other. And then the second part of the question, is it important to agree? Like I said, me and Stanley, we didn't talk about race. And so I can't necessarily say that we agreed about race. Mm-hmm. So when you start to talk about things, you start to see like, okay, this is, you will define what is a no-go for your relationship. So for me personally, I don't want to speak for all relationships, but because, you know, race is a, you there's no like gray area, you know, like, so like we are both on the same page of like, racism is wrong.
Right.
Period. There's no like gray area. We won't agree to disagree to that one.
Right.
You know? Like, well, we're not compromising on that one.
Right.
So I think that is very important, because this is about humanity. This is a heart issue. This is a God in human. Like he made us this way. This is right. Intimate. This is real. This isn't like what we're eating for dinner.
Right.
Like, this is real. And so deciding for yourself what is obsolete, you know, like, racism is wrong. Right. Now, the other stuff, like how to solve racism.
Right.
Should you feel scared right now? How do we talk about stuff? Like, those are the things that you have to work together on. And sometimes you have to leave the conversation as a agree to disagree, as long as you both know the main point, racism is wrong.
Right.
Is the main point. Because like I said, like, we didn't start growing in this until 2016. We had been married 3 years at that point, you know? And so had I said in 2013, oh, well, you don't know anything and whatever, we wouldn't have this beautiful life together in which we've both grown.
Right.
And so, like, I think you have to choose, like, okay, we both agree on the main thing. Racism is wrong. We can't seem to agree on what exactly is wrong, but we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep, like, workshopping it. We're going to keep having conversations, and we're going to keep, like, stop being defensive and being graceful and giving peace, you know, all the things until you can get to a point, because there are some things you just don't talk about when you don't have children. It's hard to talk about because you don't really have the words, you don't really have the emotions. It's things you don't talk about when you're not in the middle of, you know, what's going on right now, you know, because it was not a thing.
Right.
So I think that's important.
Well, I think that stuff is, that's, again, you need to write your book, because that stuff is like relevant. That stuff is relevant even like in any marriage, because like, I was about to say something I probably shouldn't have said, but okay. So like, I will never claim to understand like the complexities of being in an interracial marriage, because I'm not in one, but Aaron and I have said this before, we're in an intercultural marriage. And like, a lot of people think like, oh, you guys are Black, it's all the same. Look, I'm from a small town called Lithonia in Georgia. I wear boots. I married a big old Black man from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
This is an intercultural relationship.
Yeah.
Like, there's all this, like, so we're still the same way. Like, you know, we, like you said, we both agree that racism is wrong, but it doesn't mean that, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, no. You're just spitting truth for all the peoples, and I'm so glad that you were spitting the truth. Also, It's Princess Brittany said that you need to write a book, and she and I are responsible for getting this couple together that's now married. So, like, I'm just saying, if she and I agree on something, it is right. That is just...
Yes. It's fact. It's fact a lot.
Across the board, how it works. Man, well, thank you so much for this, Carol Erica. Yes. I didn't really ask you this beforehand. I don't remember if your Instagram is private or not because I follow you, so I don't know if it's private or not.
So this week, because, you know, I've decided, y'all, so many of you guys don't know me, but I got married 7 years ago, and I kind of just went into hiding. In college, I was like, you know, Carol Erica, party girl, everybody's best friend, and then I got married, and I was like, yeah, I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna chill out for the next 7 years. And so that's what I've done. But after just speaking out this week, people have really been like, you need to share this and we need to see it. And the Lord put that on my heart. Like that night when I first shared something, the word came down to me. It said, say something. And I wrote, say something. And I was like, all right, here we go. I got to say something. And then I did. And it was 12:57 because I was fully intending on no one to see it. And then people saw it and people kept seeing it. And so now, long story short, my profile is now public. Because I know that people need to see it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you can go follow me at Carol Erica.
Yeah. There's also a Carol Erica fan page on Facebook that I made it in college because I'm obsessed with my friends. So yes. There's a fan page on Facebook. I'm still an admin.
Are you?
Yes. I updated.
I need to get that information.
We were trying to get her on Disney Channel. And so that's why we started it. Yes. Also, yeah, Carol, thank you so much for talking to me today. You are beautiful and wonderful and hilarious, and I'm so glad that you're here.
Well, thank you, guys.
Like my therapist. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here.
No, thank you. I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate just the chance to share and, you know, really dig into, like, I am also in this boat, and I'm learning, and it's a good boat to be in, so.
Yes. Oh, yes. Adrian wants to know, where is her fan page? And also, she wants everyone to know that you made all of us Twitter accounts.
I made everybody Twitter accounts. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Carol is a queen.
No. So, there is someone in here. I don't know what your time limit is, but it's Teach Logos. It's Robbie Pate. So, he, his dad was our preacher growing up. And I remember, Robbie, I remember when you and Victoria got married. And I remember his wife is also Black. And I just loved them. And, like, I was just like, you know. And I was, like, a little kid. But I remember his dad telling a story of them dating. And there was some racial, this is, like, back in the 90s. There was some racial, which doesn't really matter. But there was some racial tension within their family. And I remember his dad, Mr. Pate, like putting his foot down and saying, like, no, we love her, and we had to, they took a stand, and that is stuck with me. So yeah, that's crazy,
man. That's what we need right now. We need people to take a stand and to be willing to say the things that are uncomfortable to say, but when you say them enough, you start becoming comfortable with them.
Yes. You start inviting in them, good and bad, right? Good and bad.
Seriously. So yeah. I appreciate that. Well, I'm going to save this. I will text you the link to it so we can share it with our other friends that were too lame to watch it. I'm gonna call Court, and then I'll call you after this. But I love you.
All right.
Talk to you
later.
Love
you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I hope that you guys all go and follow Carolina. I call her Carolina. She is so great. Okay. We're going to go live now with Court. Courtney is super cool and super awesome. Let's see. Kathy David, you're here. Courtney, hi.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Are you still good? I know you've got like all the babies.
I'm good. It might not be as beautifully quiet as Carol's.
Whatever. If you have to depart or like
you want
to
say hi,
pass the phone to a baby for a little while, that's okay. Because you know I love them.
gosh. So we're rocking right now. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm mesmerized by my new nephew. I haven't met him yet. And so I'm just in a mood. Nash, can you say hi, buddy? Can you say hi?
If he wants to be like, here you go.
Hi. Hi, buddy. Here. I love you. Auntie Jamie loves you.
He's so confused.
I'm going to cry. I'm going to start crying. Sorry. Bella's not here, so I'm emotional. Okay. You guys. So Courtney is my sister. Courtney is my girl. Every time these things happen in the world, which, you know, realistically is every day.
Sorry.
Oh, we got a haircut.
Yeah. Tippy.
Yes. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, anyway.
No, you're fine. I was just saying, girl, don't say sorry. This is life. This is our life. We have silly, loud babies.
I know.
Is he saying, I know?
Yeah.
But no, every time these things happen, I always look forward to Courtney's text. Courtney always sends the most real and vulnerable, honest text message. And I'm just always so grateful. Okay, so Courtney, I told everybody earlier that I don't know the difference between Illinois and Indiana. I get them confused. You're from Illinois.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you.
I know. I do it all the time. So you're from a small town in Illinois.
Yes.
And it's mostly white people.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you marry a not so white person.
No, not white at all.
Where's JP from?
He's from Kenya.
Okay. And so, and you've been to Kenya, right?
Yes, several times.
I'm so jealous. I want to go to Kenya so bad.
It's beautiful.
So let's do a little intro question. Because I know that you have many of these. Is there anything kind of like fun or more lighthearted that you've noticed is like a difference between you being like Illinois white girl and Kenyan man?
Well, there are several. I think having not only interracial, but intercultural to the extreme, to me, in my mind, it's the extreme. Because it's not like St. Louis, Atlanta, like yours. It's like across the ocean. So, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things that are different.
Yeah.
So he just, is that what you asked? Yeah. So he grew up with all of these like different traditions than we had. And so that's like the biggest thing. So it's fun though. Like we tease a lot about, like we would tease our friends when we were first dating about like when we got married, I had to go like, I don't know if I should say this online. I'd have to go like kill a chicken and like wear the feathers on my head. And we got a few people, we were like, we had them going and they believed us. And it was like, it was super funny because it wasn't true.
It reminds me of when at your, so guys, we had like a combined bachelorette party for Courtney's wedding. And so it was like a cookout with your family. Yeah. It was so much fun. Like I loved it so much. And you know, I'm Southern, Courtney's Midwestern. And so in a very safe way, we were doing some target practice is what we'll just call it in the very large backyard. And JP missed the target. And then he was like, I won't do his accent because I do think that would be inappropriate for me to do. But he was like, well, in my country, we use spears. So that's why. Yeah. And it's like, JP, you don't use spears. So
That's the kind of stuff that we joke about and whatever. So he's got a pet lion and he walked here from Kenya. So
I love that so much. Like y'all's sense of humor is, I mean, yeah, Courtney and I've been friends for over 10 years. And I remember when I first met JP, I don't actually remember the exact moment I met him, but I remember when I first started spending time around JP and his sense of humor just gave me so much joy, you know, because Courtney needed to be with someone that was goofy and outgoing because they are both so joyful. And it has blessed me so much that your relationship is filled with so much joy. Okay, so was there any more on the serious side? Did you guys face any opposition when it came to your relationship being interracial?
I'm glad that Carol Erica went first because I thought of a couple of things. That's pretty shocking. But my immediate family, no. Like, everybody was super supportive, and his was super supportive. So, I'm, like, we're eternally grateful and blessed to have that. But it's funny because some of the opposition we had was, do you want to know where it was?
Where?
It was in the church.
Oh, right. What? The church?
It was in church. Can you believe that?
The church is so inclusive.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm a little...
Courtney, it's you say so it all.
We had some people in the church that weren't sure that it was, like, biblically correct because we weren't equally yoked, but that's the wrong scripture because that's not what it means.
Not
and
at all.
We had some other people that were just upset about it, and it was, you know, but it wasn't anybody that was, like, really involved in our life, so.
Right.
That was fine. And then he had a friend, not really a friend, but he had an acquaintance that – I called him one time, was just saying, like, this is more of a cultural thing than, I think, a black and white thing. But they're, he was just telling him, like, you shouldn't be with this girl. Like, they're just out for, you know, all of these things, that they don't have the right intentions. And it was just, like, it was unfortunate. But
do you mind me asking, this might be going a little deeper than I intended. Yeah. But the person that said those things to you, to JP specifically, were they Black American, or would they maybe be considered African American?
They were African American. Like,
okay, I wasn't sure if they were, like, from the States or not.
No.
It's really sad that the things that happen in our culture and the way that stereotypes can really play such a heavy, like, negative impact on us, you know, whether they're based on fact or fiction, you know, the stereotype of, oh, well, if a white girl is with a black guy, like, she's only after him for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Or if a black guy wants a white girl, well, that must mean that he doesn't like black women.
Yeah.
Or if a black girl is with a white guy, like Carol Erica said, she must have daddy issues.
Yeah.
Or if I was going to say, or if a white guy is with a black girl, like, oh, he has a fetish. Like,
yeah.
Whether based on fact or fiction, those stereotypes can ruin relationships.
Yeah.
What were you about to say? Sorry.
Another thing, like in college, some people would say to JP that he was just with me to get his papers. And so it's like, well, 3 kids and 10 years later.
Yeah. Like, oh, that so, makes me so
stuff
that
like
makes
that.
Me,
yeah.
I, it's the thing that's hard about this is that, you know, as a black person, I will very casually say terribly racist things that have happened to me. And then I'll just be like, stuff like that, because it's normal to me.
Yeah.
But hearing you do it, it makes me realize how painful that stuff is. Like, we don't really acknowledge this stuff as trauma very often. We brush it off like, oh, this hurt me, but whatever, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
And that's not something you should have to get used to.
No.
Like, no one should be saying to you that your husband is only with you to get his papers. Like, that's traumatic. That's terrible.
Yeah.
And... you know how I feel about it.
You know how I feel.
Ugh, look at us censoring ourselves for the internet. Look at us. Well, actually, because the babies are around and because of the internet. That is, yeah, that's so crazy. So how do you then, as a white woman, because there are so many different things that you are navigating, you're navigating the pressure and the discrimination and the foolishness that is being said to you and pushed on you and the looks that you get, but then you're also, because, you know, we've talked about, like, just sometimes the way people might look at you in a judgmental way and stuff, but then you're also navigating the trauma that black men are dealing with right now in this country. Like, being married to a black man right now, I mean, it's a joy, it's a privilege for a bajillion reasons, because we both love our husbands, but there's also such a weight in our homes right now, just trying to love our husbands in the right way. And then on top of that, you have 3 beautiful babies, and you've got black men that you're raising, and these are conversations that you all will have with them someday. So how are you navigating? I know that's a lot of different things, but let me check in with you emotionally. How are you navigating all of this? And then answer emotionally first. Like, how are you doing?
I think I'm going to save some of that. I think you have other questions later that will answer anyways, but I'm more than ever, I'm mad. I'm super mad, and I'm mad at the way people are acting and missing the point and forgetting what Jesus says about who we are. I'm mad about that. And then I'm like fired up and determined because I just like want it to change. And I'm, you know, so those are what I'm feeling.
Yeah. And then how do you then take those feelings into action? Like, as far as your marriage, how do you provide a safe space for JP to feel?
Yeah. I think I have to ask myself that daily. I don't necessarily say those words, but like, yeah. 'Cause I'm not always sure, to be honest. I'm not always sure what to do. But I don't want to like say things and then think, I don't know, do you think I'm like being haughty, like, well, I do this and I'm really good at it.
No, girl, but, I just
try to like speak into him and encourage him. Like, you are amazing. And not, cause it's really easy to get caught up in the negativity. And it's like, well, this is, you're never going to succeed at this because of this, because of your color. Like, you're not as good because you're from Kenya. You're not as good because you're black. You know? And so I just want him to believe what I believe about himself. So I try to just be encouraging and just continually speak like what the Lord said. I could do better with that, but just like, this is what the Lord says you are and who you are, and just like being that foundation for us, and just like, I don't know, just speaking into his life.
Yeah.
And the same with our children, you know, like, you are beautiful and you are good, and you know, forget what everybody else says.
Yeah.
So
I know for a fact that you are good at that, because you're really good at that in our friendship. And so I love how you hesitate to say where your strengths are, because I see how uncomfortable you are as I'm asking.
You see how I'm super white girl. Yes, I said it, because I'm like, my face is so red right now.
No, whatever. I am glad that you said that you're super white, because earlier I said it and I'm glad you said it. I'm like, yeah, Courtney has given me permission to say that. Maybe I shouldn't have said it on the internet, but it's a thing. She says it. So.
I mean, look, I'm so red.
Whatever. You look beautiful. I think it's so beautiful that you said, I ask myself that every day. That is so crucial. Mm-hmm. That is what scripture talks about when it's talking about dying to yourself daily. Oftentimes we think that scripture is specifically about, you know, praying, or only about the vertical relationship, but it goes into the horizontal as well. It goes into how we are with other people. When we die to ourselves daily, it's not saying, hey God, I give you my day, which is beautiful and amazing and sacrificial and necessary.
Yeah.
But dying to ourselves daily is, hey God, I give you my day. God, I give you my life. I give you my relationships. And it's Lord, I ask you to help me navigate through every part of every aspect of my day. Yeah. And that's what you're doing. And I know that that's what you're doing, because for the, how long have I known you? I don't even know. We met in 2009.
Yeah.
And literally became best friends right away, because we were both transfer students at another college.
Yeah.
And they forced us to hang out. So, but it was perfect. But I know this because ever since you and JP have been together, when I walk into your home, if there are things that I'm feeling as a Black woman, because the things that I've experienced industry and work-wise, you have always been one of my first calls.
Yeah.
And when I walk into your home and I say, Courtney, this weighs on me. Courtney, this is heavy. Courtney, I'm broken about this. You and or your husband have always so openly been able to listen and receive and then pour wisdom back into me.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen unless y'all are already having those conversations yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the fact that I can call you as a white friend and say, Courtney, this man followed my husband around Target because he thought Aaron was going to steal something, but he didn't follow anybody else. I don't have to be afraid because you're my white friend. I know that you're already
acknowledging the pain that your husband is facing, mm-hmm. and that your culture, that your world, that your country is facing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. That's something that you do well. I know you, I wanted to rant on that because I knew you weren't going to want to rant on what you do well, and that's fine. But you do such a good job at just being sensitive to the people around you in general. And that is so cultural. That is so important. Let me see. I wanted to ask you, I don't know what your answer would be, but like, do you still have moments now where you're still learning about the challenges that Black people face in America?
Yes. I'm glad you asked me this question.
I feel like you don't. I feel like you know everything.
No, but I'm just passionate. I just get a little passionate about a lot of things. But I do, honestly, I was talking to JP about it, and I don't want to, like, offend anybody, but I think this is where...
Ooh, say it.
No, I just, so, okay, like, you know how, to me, in my mind, it was a few years ago, like, the Black Lives Matter kind of popped up when... this issue has happened before.
Yeah, when the movement started, I think it was after Mike Brown in Missouri, so it wasn't too long ago. So yeah.
So I feel like I didn't understand it as much then. And maybe, I don't know, believed isn't the right word, but maybe perceived a certain way about it. In regards to what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And, but it just resonates with me different this time. And I don't know if it's because I have kids, but I think there's just been growth in that aspect and understanding what the message is really being said.
Yeah.
I think just understanding people in general creates growth. Ask me the question again, because I lost my train of thought.
Wait, that was so powerful what you just said. When you just said, like, you just said understanding people, like, would you use the word creates? You said understanding people either creates growth or is growth. Like, yeah. I mean, that's so crucial, because you were saying that, I love how you just say stuff, and then you're like, wait, what did I say? That was so good. You said that, and correct me if I'm wrong, or you, of course, elaborate, please. But you were saying that a few years ago, when people started saying, like, Black Lives Matter, when the movement kind of started, yeah. that you didn't understand it. You don't know if you really believed in why people were saying it.
Yeah.
But now, you don't know
you're
if it's
so good at interpreting. Yeah.
Courtney, yeah. I've known you for our whole lives. And, like, but you're saying that now you understand it in a different way.
Yeah.
And when you choose to understand more, then you can grow.
Yeah.
That's so crucial, because... Well, oh, hush. So many people, when I've posted things saying Black Lives Matter, you know, of course, their immediate response is all lives matter.
Yeah.
And I wish that, like you just said, I wish they would just take the time to understand. And yeah. how can you understand? By asking questions.
Yeah.
And I think some people really do just want to scream what they believe and run away. But I do think that there are some people that if they would just say, like, hey, I don't understand this, or go to this new website that's out called Google and try to understand, I think by understanding, then we could, you know, move toward growth. And that takes humility.
Yeah.
That takes so much humility.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you saying that, because I think a lot of people don't understand why people emphasize, well, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand that. And I appreciate hearing from a white person, you know, especially a white person that I love dearly, to say, you know what? I didn't get it. And it took me years to get it.
Yeah, honestly.
But like, what I can...
Not that I didn't appreciate or love Black people. I mean, JP and I have been married for like 9 years next week. So I had to think about it.
Yeah, but, I was like, how long has it been? Yeah.
But you do. It's just a continual growth and understanding. Not that you like hate them because you don't understand it. But you just have to, you know.
That's so good. I think a lot of white people feel the way that you feel right now. Of course, I can't speak for a lot of white people or any any white people. But I do think that what you're saying is very poignant. And I'm not sure if poignant is the right word, but it makes me sound really smart. And they're feeling in that way of, I like black people. I just don't understand the reason why we have to keep talking about it.
Yeah. You know,
especially when you're in an interracial marriage, you're just like, well, we're not racist, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially thinking about things like slavery, like in that context, it doesn't look the same like now that it's in. So it can feel like it's over. Didn't my grandparents fight for this? You know, isn't this over? And so to hear your humility is in your willingness to learn, but also just your continued compassion and love, I think makes a huge difference. And also one of my favorite families in here, Melissa Brown, she said, quick to listen, slow to speak. I've heard that somewhere before. And I think that's so beautiful. Okay, I just want to ask you, I'm going to ask you one more question. And then if you want to add anything else, like, please add it on. But I know you've got like the little ones and stuff, so I don't want to hold you up all day. What'd you say?
He's asleep.
Oh. He's so cushy.
Oh, I was just scared of.
Oh,
sorry. Okay, go on.
We're terrible. Okay, cool. So my last question is kind of a complex question, but what would you say to either single people that like want to date outside of their race, or what would you say to mixed race couples that are navigating through these tough questions right now?
So I would say differently to if you're married or not, because if you're married, first and foremost, you have to be a team, and your husband or whoever, your significant other comes first. No matter what your family or friends or whoever says, you guys are married and you are one. And so you have to be one together on the same page, and you have to choose them first.
Yeah.
If you're dating and going in that direction, I would say the same thing. Not that I wouldn't say the same thing to someone who's dating, but I feel like you're figuring out a lot of stuff
right
prior to marriage. So in that, in regards to not being married in an interracial marriage, I would just say, like, be open to learning, be open to listening, and just be willing to learn. And put yourself aside, and all of your things you understand, put those aside, and put down your guard. Like, don't be I loved what Carol Erica was saying, was just don't be defensive and be open and listen.
Right.
So
what would you say to, and this is kind of tagging on to that, but I get a lot of DMs about this, and so I want to ask a very direct question.
Yeah, come on.
What would you say to white women?
Come on, say it.
That want mixed babies.
Stop it. Stop. Like, I feel like I'm talking to my kids right now.
You know, I get these questions, Courtney. I get them all the time.
I'm sorry. That was
like, oh my gosh, this is why I got to get a black man so my daughter can have hair like Bella's. You know, oh my gosh, like, ooh, you know, because black man, I want to go to Africa and be a missionary, so I'm going to get me a black man.
Don't even stop it.
Courtney, you're the only person I can talk to about this. You are my
first
most,
of all,
you are my most incredible resource.
Black people don't need to be saved by white people when we have issues here.
Say it again.
Little black people in Africa do not need us to go over there and save them. They're not uneducated. They're not dumb. And we aren't even like addressing our issues here. JP is the smartest person I know, and he did not grow up here.
She's so smart.
I said it.
She said it. I didn't say it, so don't come
not for me. Not eloquently, but I said it.
You said it beautifully and perfectly.
So that's that. But you have to stop because you have superficial issues that you're going to get, your marriage won't last. If you want to marry somebody because they're black and you're going to get a biracial baby with hair like that, then you have a problem and it's not going to last because it's superficial. It's not about the real stuff. It's not about when the hard stuff comes up and you're brushing your baby's hair, like, oh, my baby's hair looks good today, but my husband and I hate each other. Like, you have problems.
Oh! 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 When's your book coming out? Guys, how many people agree that Courtney needs to write a book called Stop It? Stop It!
Are you going to send a timeout?
Dang, Court, I could talk to you about this all day.
No,
is there anything else that you needed to say that you wanted to say that we didn't touch on?
I don't really need to say it, but I'm going to say it. Just because we were talking about where my learning came from. And I think it does come with kids. Like, JP had some stuff when we lived in Nashville where, like, with cops and, like, racial profiling and stuff. But when we moved and we are now in – like, my children are the minority where we live. Like, it's fine. Like, we're with family, whatever. But when you take your babies to the library and they don't give your babies something to color with, and you're the only one that doesn't get something to color with, it changes your mind. When you... There's no moon. There's no moon tonight. Just so you know. When your husband is putting a fence up in your own backyard and somebody drives by and rolls up the window, it changes your mind. When you go to the hardware store in town and somebody rolls up the window and says a bad word because they see your husband, it changes your mind. And that's why it matters. And so please, that's why, and not that I needed all those things to happen to understand, because I feel like I felt the same way I feel now. I just feel the emotion behind it to want to say something.
Right.
So... That's why it matters. And that's why we have to change so that these little people we're raising, not just for them, we need it to change for us too. Like, we shouldn't have to be oppressed till they're in their 20s.
Right.
I said we, like I'm black, but I'm just saying, like, it has to change now.
It does.
So,
it really does. Court, you are amazing. I hope that people... by this conversation and the one with Carolina, I hope that people can see, like, when people leave such sweet messages about, like, the kind of woman I am and stuff, I just hope people can see that these are the women that I surround myself with.
Mm.
Like, these are the women that I call at 2 a.m. Like, this is my village, and this is why I am the woman that I am.
Yeah.
Also, because of my parents and my sister, I should give them credit, but, and my husband, but these women are my village, you know? Yeah. Courtney, such an awkward question to ask on live, but is your Instagram public or is it private?
I think it's private.
Okay, it's fine. So don't go follow Courtney.
I didn't even know how to turn this on. So
Courtney texted me today and she was like, so for Instagram live, what is the question you asked me? You said,
I said, how do I turn my video on?
And then you said, can I do it from your computer?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I said, do I
know? No, you can't. You guys, here's the thing. I'm not even kidding. Either I'll put it in my story. Either you can follow Courtney's Instagram. I'll find out after this chat. Or I'm going to make her a fan Instagram and then you can follow that one. Because we all need to be, we need to stay tuned for when her book or her blog is going to come out because it's going to be amazing. And basically what you guys are going to do, your mom is in here. Oh my gosh, y'all, Courtney's parents have showed up at my concerts for years, like, as my parents, and we don't really tell people that they're not my parents. Like, I've literally played Courtney's dad's guitar in my live shows. You are my family, and I love you so much. Okay, I know you've got to go and cuddle with the babies and check on them and everything, so I will bother you later and call you later. And continue my quest to get all my friends to move to the West Coast. Okay. I love you, Court. I'll talk to you later.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. You guys. That's my village. Those are my humans. I don't have much to say after that. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
for joining this Instagram Live. I will save it, I'll put it on YouTube, and I'll put it on IGTV. Make sure you check my highlights on my profile at where it says book club, so that you guys can join the Jamie Grace book club. It's free. It starts in July. We're going to start with my book, Wait It Out, all about dating and relationships. You don't have to be single. You don't have to be in a relationship. You can be single or in a relationship to read the book, Wait It Out. And it will be in July. July is when we'll do the first book club, and then the one after that is going to be called Jesus Over Everything. It's going to be really cool. And whenever I convince Court and Carol to write books, then we will do their books in the book club. But again, I would love to be on Zoom with you guys, Zoom calls every weekend during the month of July with you and I for the book club. So click on that. Fabi, I love you too. Thank you so much. Click on my highlight on my Instagram profile. Okay, guys, you're wonderful. Thank you so much for watching. This was amazing. I love my girls. I love my people. Bye, guys.